From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. President Donald Trump's speech today seems to mark a de-escalation in the hostilities with Iran, but Congress is still considering a war powers resolution that would constrain Trump from future actions against the Persian Gulf country. Democrats in the U.S. House are likely to pass their version of a war powers resolution on Thursday. Whether the Senate does the same could turn in part on Senator Lisa Murkowski, a centrist Republican who does not always fall in line with the party leadership. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin talked to her this evening and has this report.
The idea that the Republican-led Senate might pass a war powers resolution became a lot more realistic after all 100 senators sat for a top-secret briefing.
I walked into the briefing undecided. I walked out decided, specifically because of what happened in that briefing.
Republican Senator Mike Lee of Utah was insulted by the message he says he heard, that senators should not question any further U.S. military response.
It is not acceptable for officials within the executive branch of government, I don't care whether they're with the CIA, with the Department of Defense, or otherwise, to come in and tell us that we can't debate and discuss the appropriateness of military intervention against Iran. It's un-American. It's unconstitutional, and it's wrong.
But Senator Murkowski was far more measured when asked if she's considering supporting the war powers resolution.
My inclination right now, and I have not made a decision, I think that's important to state, but my inclination right now is I'm hesitant to sign on to it for a host of different reasons.
Murkowski says the Senate resolution, sponsored by Democrat Tim Kaine of Virginia, is vague in places, and she worries that it would send a message to the military and to other countries that the response is based on politics rather than policy.
And I want particularly the men and women that are serving us know that we are behind them 100% in terms of what they do day in and day out to protect us as a nation, and so making sure that we are clear and cautious at the same time is important and a priority to me.
Murkowski issued a statement Monday commending the president for ordering a drone strike that killed General Qasem Soleimani, head of Iran's Quds Force. The administration's briefing to senators reinforced her view.
The expression that he has the blood of many Americans, hundreds of Americans on his hand, I think is undisputed and is clear. The information that we received today allows me to make the statement that I believe that it was the action that was taken at the direction of the president was appropriate.
The Senate version of the War Powers Resolution tells Trump he must cease military hostilities against Iran within 30 days unless he gets the approval of Congress. It requires 51 votes to pass the Senate, so 4 Republicans would have to join the Democrats to pass it. In addition to Lee, Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky supports it. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
The mayor of Anchorage has asked state legislators to consider giving part of the Alaska Permanent Fund to cities and boroughs. Ethan Berkowitz made a pitch to lawmakers for municipalities to share a portion of the annual cash transfer from the fund to the state treasury. Lawmakers approved the transfer in 2018, but did not determine the specific split of the money between government operations and the permanent fund dividend for residents. Berkowitz says the legislature should consider the funds a community dividend. The legislature is set to consider the issue again when the session opens on January 21st. Federal climate experts say Alaska experienced its warmest year on record in 2019. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in the U.S. climate report says Alaska had a statewide average temperature of 32.2 degrees. That's 6.2 degrees above the long-term average. It's also higher than the previous record statewide average temperature of 31.9 degrees set in 2016. NOAA's National Centers for Environmental Information compiled the annual summary. Alaska set the record despite a December that featured temperatures closer to the average. 10 cities experienced their warmest years ever, including Anchorage, Fairbanks, Utsjoki, Kotzebue, King Salmon, Bethel, Northway, McGrath, Kodiak, and Cold Bay. New documents show that the Alaska Native Regional Corporation for the North Slope collected a big payout when Congress opened the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge's coastal plain to oil drilling 2 years ago. Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk has this story on how the $22 million payment to Arctic Slope Regional Corporation underscores the big stakes of the refuge debate for the company.
ASRC's 13,000 Alaska Native shareholders own the oil rights to 150 square miles along the coastal plain. But the area couldn't be developed unless Congress opened the rest of the coastal plain to drilling. As a result, ASRC has long been one of the most aggressive advocates for opening the refuge to oil development. Here's Executive Richard Glenn testifying before a congressional committee 2 years ago.
These lands hold resource potential for oil and gas development.
A line in ASRC's latest annual report helps explain why the corporation was so keen on opening the area to drilling. After Congress's vote, oil companies BP and Chevron paid ASRC a total of $22 million to maintain their oil rights to the corporation's 150 square miles along the coastal plain. And ASRC stands to benefit even further if oil is ultimately found and produced on its property. The Native Corporation is the largest Alaska-owned business, with annual revenues exceeding $3 billion and more than 15,000 employees inside and outside the state. The corporation is heavily invested in oil and gas, with its own refineries and an oil field services business. It also collects royalties from oil production on some of its lands outside the Arctic Refuge. Those holdings have proven valuable for shareholders, as ASRC's most recent annual dividend was $7,000. But the corporation's pro-development position has recently caused tensions with other Alaska Native groups, which say they're threatened by global warming. And the corporation recently withdrew its membership from the Alaska Federation of Natives. ASRC declined to comment on the payment from the two oil companies. Chevron and BP each confirmed that the payment was made, but declined to comment further. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
Suicide remains a sensitive topic across Alaska. Despite a variety of statewide and national resources available to help those with suicidal thoughts or tendencies, recent state reports show that suicide rates in Alaska are among the highest in the nation. With a focus on community wellness and removing stigma from the controversial topic, an Alaska nonprofit is hosting a series of listening circles in Kotzebue aimed at younger community members. KOTZ's Wesley Early has more.
When talking to young people about suicide prevention, Michelle Kubelik speaks from experience.
I was just hopeless. I didn't think that I could ever, you know, get to the point in my life where, you know, I would be doing something that I enjoy.
Incidents involving sexual assault compounded by a history of alcoholism brought Kubelik to a low point where she considered ending her life. She's been in recovery for over a decade. She credits her ability to stay sober and manage her depression in part to the support systems in Kotzebue who helped her.
There are people that, you know, like really guided me and helped me and gave me a chance. And that meant, you know, that meant a lot.
Stories like Kubelik's are common across the state. Statistics from the State Department of Health and Social Services released last year show a 13% uptick in the number of suicides in the state from 2012 to 2017. Alaska Natives were almost twice as likely than any other ethnic group in the state to die from suicide. It was most prevalent in the northern and southwestern parts of the state, and a third of the cases involved someone with a substance abuse problem. Kubelik is a facilitator for Promoting Community Conversations About Research to End Suicide, or PC Cares. The Alaska group focuses on addressing suicide in northern Alaska communities through community-focused listening circles. Kubelik says that a major catalyst for suicide is the idea that people don't seek help or don't think that they can seek help for their personal struggles. But PC Cares listening groups are made of local community members. The groups, which can be as large as 20 people, provide safe spaces for people to discuss their own personal struggles as well as how suicide has affected them.
I want the youth to be comfortable in talking about a difficult subject to an adult or with each other. So it's, I think it would make a big difference if they can, you know, express how much suicide hurts or how it affected them.
Kubelik says she and other PC Cares facilitators went through an intense training process in Anchorage last year to prepare for the listening sessions. She says it's very common for someone in the community to know someone who's been affected by suicide, and PC Cares relies on close-knit community bonds to facilitate healthy discussions.
It's something that a lot of folks have dealt with silently, and, you know, I think to begin healing, you need to learn how to open up and talk about the things that are hurting you. And I think that these learning circles will teach that.
The first learning circle is scheduled for January 29th in the Manelik Behavioral Health Services Kitchen in Kotzebue. Facilitators are aiming for a 6 p.m. start time. Kubelek understands that not everyone is comfortable with discussing their struggles in public forums. She says there are more private alternatives offered at behavioral health.
If you know of somebody, or if you have ever felt like you're, you know, you want to commit suicide, there are certain ways that we can try to help the youth or yourself by talking to somebody that you're comfortable with and seeking help.
If you or someone you know is struggling with suicidal thoughts, you can contact the National Suicide Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Wesley Early.
Alaska State Troopers say a Delta Junction man sought on a warrant was shot and killed Tuesday near the city, 100 miles southeast of Fairbanks. Law enforcement officers were attempting to arrest 59-year-old Daniel Dwayne Jensen Jr. following an investigation by troopers. Jensen was sought on a warrant for counts of sexual abuse of a minor. Troopers say officers from the troopers and the North Pole Police Department fired weapons. Troopers released minimal details on the shooting Tuesday, but said it occurred as officers attempted to contact Jensen. Names of the officers who fired weapons will be released 3 days after the shooting. Washington State's Department of Health reports 19 deaths have been confirmed from the flu there so far this season, including two children. The latest update from health officials says flu activity in the state is elevated, with more than 1,800 patients reporting flu-like symptoms during the last week of December alone, the most recent period for which data is available. 10 outbreaks of flu-like sickness also have been reported at long-term facilities in Washington so far in the 2019-2020 season. And finally, the National Weather Service has issued a high wind watch that's in effect from late Thursday night through Saturday evening. Location covers downtown Juneau, Douglas, West Juneau, and Thane. Taku wind gusts of 60 or higher are possible. Winds will likely increase Thursday night and potentially remain high through late Saturday and possibly into early next week. And tonight's Juneau area forecast calls for numerous snow showers, snow accumulation around 1 inch, lows around 10. Thursday, mostly clear, highs around 20. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Wednesday, January 8th, 2020. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.